Does American history matter, and if so, why? That is our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is author and evangelist Alex McFarland. And his website is alexmcfarland.com. McFarland is spelled M-C-F-A-R-L-A-N-D. And we're going to talk about, again, the dangers of ignoring the true history of the United States and its Christian founding. Alex, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, Dr. Newcomb, thank you so much. It's always an honor to speak with you. I have such an admiration for you and the work that you do. It's always a privilege.
Well, you don't have to call me doctor. Just don't call me late for lunch. All right, so here we go. Why does history matter? Why does teaching history to the next generation matter?
History matters. Accurate history matters so that we have a sense of identity. And not only as Americans, to have a sense of national identity, and I believe national pride and patriotism, but a grasp of our purpose, that we have been, our nation as a Judeo-Christian republic has been the voice of freedom to the world, the example of a moral, principled republic. But also, like in terms of in the 19th century, the emancipation of slaves, I mean, we are the nation that was first at the table when it comes to human rights for all. And so it really grieves me, Jerry, that a lot of young people nowadays, in fact, if you go to K through 12 public schooling and secular university, I can guarantee that you will be taught a false narrative that denigrates America. And so a lot of kids, they don't have a sense of national identity. They certainly don't have a feeling of national pride, and they really don't have any idea of our national purpose before God. And so this has made us very vulnerable to false ideologies and political regimes to be imposed, since we've all but abandoned our Judeo-Christian constitutional republic.
This is really amazing when you think about it, because, for example, the founding fathers sacrificed quite a bit. Take the example of George Washington. I've read a lot about him. I've even co-written a book with Dr. Peter Loback about the faith of George Washington. The man sacrificed so much so that we might be free, and he was a fourth-generation slave owner, gentleman farmer from Virginia. And by the time he died, he freed his slaves, which is fantastic. This was a development in his life. And if others had followed his train and his example, maybe there would have been, slavery would have been shortened in America. But slavery was the norm at that time. So what the founding fathers did in creating the United States, they created the framework by which slavery would be uprooted one day. And as Dr. Walter Williams points out, slavery was mankind's fare from the beginning of humanity and throughout recorded history. The significant point, though, is that in the Western world, we spent considerable resources to uproot it. But the average person wouldn't know that today. I want you to comment about slavery, because I think that's probably one of the biggest areas where, you know, a lot of people think, oh, yeah, American really was bad at the beginning, or, you know, maybe it's bad now.
Yeah. Let me say, it's interesting how America's founders are denigrated for owning slaves, but they're never praised for creating the blueprint by which slavery was abolished and people were freed. And then in the decades after that, other nations around the world would follow our lead. But Jerry, since COVID, 133 statues have been pulled down in America. Now, I want to say there's a whole lot more at play here than the alleged agenda of social justice warriors who are not just at all. There is an agenda at play to erase America's history. And really, for enough time to go by, that there will be Americans, and we're almost there, sadly, but Americans would emerge who really know nothing about our history, don't love our country, and they're not willing to stand and defend our Constitution. But of the 133 statues that have been pulled down since COVID over the last 2.5 to 3 years, 4 statues of Christopher Columbus in Illinois taken down. Of all things, in Boston, Massachusetts, a statue of Abraham Lincoln holding the Emancipation Proclamation. There was a petition of 800 names wanting the Lincoln statue down, and it was vandalized and they spray painted it. And I'm thinking, okay, now this is the president that freed the slaves, although there are many precedents that I can cite prior to that that pointed the way. But one of the most ludicrous in Whittier, California, John Greenleaf Whittier, who was a Quaker minister, there was a statue in the town that bore his name, Whittier, California, a statue of the Christian minister and abolitionist John Greenleaf Whittier. And before the statue of John Greenleaf Whittier was taken down — California was never a slaveholding state, by the way, as most will know — but the statue of Whittier was defaced and somebody spray painted on it, slave owner. Well, not only was Whittier never a slave owner, he convened one of, if not the very first, conference on abolition ever held in America. Jerry, here's my point. We're witnessing the erasure of our history. And I know this because every weekend, virtually every weekend, 45 to 47 weekends a year, I'm in front of teens and college students, have been for 2 decades. And even Christian kids are easily triggered with visceral anger, hatred of America, not because America is bad, not because American history is not worth repeating, but because they've been taught a false narrative and they've been inculcated with just this hatred and self-loathing as citizens. And it really does jeopardize the future of the country, and it makes us vulnerable to whatever ideology can be imposed. And that new order that's being really imposed upon us is globalism, subservience to the World Health Organization and the UN, and it really jeopardizes our freedoms. And that's why I applaud what you're doing, Dr. Lilback and James Kennedy Ministries, because what we're trying to do is once again instill the sacred fires of liberty in the hearts of people, especially young people.
How do we turn this around, Alex?
Well, we can't. Only the Lord can. And Jerry, just as the Lord himself, I believe the Lord birthed America, because America has played a great role in the spreading of the gospel. Jerry, we need a revival. And that might sound like some pious preacher terminology, but revival is a biblical word. Revival is a biblical concept. And we need to do what we can do as individuals, as citizens. We can pray. We can be informed. We can influence others. One of the great ways to be equipped is by watching programs like the excellent work you create. But here's the other thing. We can be equipped. We can influence others. But we must have a return to Christ. And we must look for the Spirit of the living God to sweep across this nation like a tsunami. Just as God intervened, and as the founders would say, it was the interposition of the Almighty that made possible the American Revolution. We need that interposition of God's hand in favor again. It can happen, but we've got to pray. And I think we've got to show the Lord that we're serious and we're desperate for his intervention.
What would you say to those who would poo-poo even the whole idea that America had any kind of Christian founding? And, you know, for example, they would say something to the effect that the founding fathers were, for the most part, deists, which means really non-believers, or non-believers in a prayer-answering God.
You know, Jerry, I hear that a lot. I hear people say, well, America was never founded as a Christian nation. And the founders, you know, they were not religious, or if they even had any concept of God, they were deists, which means God created and walked away. Jerry, that's just not historically accurate. It's been my privilege to go to all 50 states, of the lower 48 states. I've been to 35 U.S. capitals, literally dozens and dozens of libraries where I've done research, and at all of the major sites from, you know, Boston and Philadelphia, throughout Washington, D.C., all through Virginia, Monticello, Mount Vernon, Poplar Forest, the Guilford Battleground here, the museums there. On the trek to see firsthand the place, the relevant places from Lexington to Gettysburg, I've been there. And you and I both, and you and I have had these conversations before, we love to read the writings of the founders. And if you read the writings of the founders, I mean, you overwhelmingly are impressed with the biblical worldview that they had. Even Jefferson. Oh, my goodness. Thomas Jefferson, who is kind of the poster child. You know, Jerry, when I've spoken or debated at 200 American universities, the secularists love to say that, well, Jefferson was an atheist or an agnostic, and that is simply not the case. I mean, he knew his theology, and he was a reader of the Apostles' Creed in a church in Charlottesville, Virginia. And so clearly he was not the secularist that they point out. In fact, why would the Declaration of Independence include the words, endowed by our Creator, capital C, that's God, with certain inalienable rights? And, you know, Jerry, about 5 miles from where I sit is the International Civil Rights Museum. It's where the sit-ins took place in the 1960s, before the full flower of the civil rights movement came to be. 1960 and 61, in a Woolworth lunch counter, there were sit-ins. Well, this is not a Christian entity. And in fact, the curator of the International Civil Rights Museum is a historian from the University of Pennsylvania. He and I have had a couple of dialogues together, and they've got a line-by-line exegesis of the Declaration of Independence. And a lot of people don't realize that there were two paragraphs stricken from the original draft, but Jefferson's original draft of the Declaration, and I've seen, again, the University of Pennsylvania curator parse this out.
By the way, this information is online. You can see what did Jefferson write about the Declaration of Independence, about slavery, that the other founding fathers felt like, well, we want to get all the states to agree to the Declaration of Independence. Therefore, we'll strike it out, and hopefully this issue will be dealt with, you know, down the road.
Sure, you're exactly right. And, you know, really, it's theorized that, you know, Georgia and South Carolina had the nomenclature abolishing slavery in the original copy of the Declaration. Had that been included, South Carolina and Georgia would not have signed on. And it was imperative that we be unified. And again, to a point that I tried to make earlier, was that it would have been nice, you know, would to God on July 4th, 1776, that slavery was abolished. Now, it took 76 years after the ratification of the U.S. Constitution for slavery to be abolished. And let me say this, too. It still has taken to this very moment for the racist sentiment in the Democratic Jim Crow South to be eradicated.
By the way, we have 30 seconds left. Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, yeah. But, Jerry, I mean, the fact is they laid the blueprint by which slavery was abolished, civil rights were enacted, and praise God, there is equal rights for all human beings in this Judeo-Christian America.
All right, Alex McFarland, thanks so much for being with us. I'll refer people again to your website, alexmcfarland.com. Alex, keep up the great work, especially trying to teach all these young people about America's true history. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you.